Oh, I should turn this music off because it's shit. I shouldn't say that about the music. It was lovingly created by Scott Brennan. He made it with his ass. No.
Why did it have to be with his ass? You know what? I actually thought we were going to get through a Scott Brennan comment and not have something filthy about him, and you reduced it to some ass banditry.
I just went to Scott's house. I went to visit Scott. He lives with Thomas Jaspers, who does Rhonda Butchmore. And
yeah,
I needed some shoes to wear. I'm doing Geraldine Quinn's spandex ballet tonight.
All right.
So I needed some heels.
Yeah, and who would have thought that Scott Brennan would have them?
Well, no, he won't, because he's only got like a size 8 foot. I don't know how he has such an enormous butthole but a tiny foot.
But what? Aren't the Talking Puffy guys in tomorrow?
Yeah, that's tomorrow.
Yeah, let's not blow our load.
Oh, no,
early
Sunday.
On that one.
That's on
yeah.
Sunday.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You should blow your load.
Yeah, I know. I knew exactly what I was doing too.
Jaspers had shoes, so I went over there to try on, because he's got big feet.
Right.
Like a hobbit.
Right.
So, yeah.
Is there someone with a recorder out there? Like, what was that fucking noise?
No, that's one of those new trams. That's the ding. It's the worst,
really?
Isn't it?
Man, if I eat another one, I'm going to go down and smash it. Like, I'm just, like, that's fucking annoying. That's not going to do anything.
No one's getting out of the way of that.
That's bullshit.
I know.
It's emasculating for the trams.
It's like Scott Brennan's feet. It's really big tram, tiny little horn.
Right. Oh, Scott. Anyway, look, let's raise the level of this podcast and bring on a very handsome man to sit between us.
Oh, no, wait. I'm going to introduce you. Sorry. So we've announced some of these, but this is a surprise one. It's the Shelf versus Don't You Know Who I Am? Please welcome the host of that, Josh Earle!
Yeah!
Thank you.
Hello. It's all happening.
Hello.
Hello.
How are we doing?
We're very, very professional. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, I feel weird sitting in between you two. Why am I sitting in between?
Well, that's what we did to Tommy and Carl. We spit roast our guests.
Yeah.
Emotionally and figuratively.
If it's any consolation, we edit it out. Because we don't want all our guests to get high hopes.
Like, we edit the whole guest out, so say whatever you like.
Yeah.
Great.
It's like, you know, those Garfield cartoons where it's just John.
John.
Yeah. That's what it's like. Hey, so I have something.
Oh.
So did you see the new trailer for the Mad Max film?
Yes.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? Oh, my God. I was so excited by it.
I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen it?
No, oh. Describe it.
Well,
there's a guy with a guitar that catches on fire.
No, wait a minute. It doesn't catch on fire. He plays guitar and it shoots fire.
It shoots
and
flame.
You know what that is? Fucking awesome.
It's a guitar flamethrower.
Right.
So it.
And he's got a lot of speakers behind him.
A lot of speakers. There's lots of cars exploding. And it seems to have retained that. You know, when you were younger, you'd watch Mad Max and you'd think, oh my God, that's so scary. And then you got older and you went, oh my God, that's so camp. Yeah. And you never realized it when you were young. You just thought, my God, that guy in the leather pants with his ass out, like, he is fucking confronting. And then it was confronting for a whole different reason, right?
That was that time, though, because even Michael Jackson with, like, Thriller and Bad was wearing that. And every guy wanted to be like Michael Jackson.
Right.
And it was really butch and manly. Mm. And then now, if you see anyone wearing that, you're like, girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you think, oh, Dave Callum.
Yeah.
He's like the epitome of, because someone was saying, you know, there's really butch gay men.
Right.
Are there any extremely camp straight men? I'm like, have you met Dave Keller? He can do the whole fucking Beyonce lady single ladies dance.
Yeah.
Or according to your theory, Joel Creasy.
Joel Creasy is a straight man.
Yeah.
He's been putting that. No one is that gay. No one is that gay.
Right. Dave Thornton's pretty
You're
camp.
Gayer than him.
Yeah, Thorno's camp.
Thorno's pretty camp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, have I ever told you the story about when we did Talking Puffy in Adelaide, and there was me and Toby and Scott, and we were really hungover because we'd done like a show the night before, we got blind. So we're crawling down Rundle Mall looking for Potts and Palmers. Like, we're just like, we need beer and fried food. That is the only thing that will cure us. Bumped into Tommy Little and Dave Thornton in singlets who'd just been to the gym.
Would have looked good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We all dilated.
It's not even 4 o'clock.
And then I'm taking a run up for Sunday. But yeah, so we got like, you know, we saw them and they're like, oh, yeah, we've just been to the gym. And then they're like, okay, we're going to go and get Pots and Palmers. And then they walked into Lush Cosmetics.
Right.
Because they were looking for hair product.
Right.
One time I was on, oh, you know this story, but I was on Roadshow. And with Denise Scott and Jeff Green.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to get on the bus. And Jeff Green was on first. And then Denise came in. And Jeff was like, I didn't want to hear the bloody hair dry. Was that you, Denise? And she goes, no, I haven't had a shower this morning. And then I swan in with my hair all looking great. Jeff just gives me a filthy look. And I'm right. Like, oh, sorry.
I'm pretty. You're old.
We've got a long bus trip. I want to look good, yeah. You know.
I want to look. I want to look good for Scotty. She
I
might try it on.
I had a lot of hair back then. A lot of hair.
You had a lot of hair.
Yeah,
it but good. It still looks like it takes a while. That doesn't look easy.
No, it's fine. Just out done.
Really?
Yeah.
That is. I'm jealous. I haven't had hair since the '80s. I don't know why.
Yeah, my hair's starting to fuck off, and I'm furious. Yeah. But it's not. It's not because I'm. It's not because I'm vain about having hair. It's because I really love my hairdresser. Like, she is awesome, and I love catching up with her. And she's a cracking human being, and I won't have an excuse to catch up with her if my hair goes. Yeah. And you know, so I started to get her to trim my eyebrows. So that's what I'm getting her to do.
Trimming your eyebrows.
Yeah, do you want to do my eyebrows? So then when the hair fucks off, I say, oh, I'll just pop in and you can do my eyebrows.
And she can do your ear hair?
Yeah, I don't have ear hair.
No, once it goes. It
oh, really? Oh, yeah. This is a disaster.
I had mine. My hairdresser just shaved my ear hair and I didn't even know I had it.
Right.
And that's, like, she didn't even ask. She just went, boom, and I'm like, whoa.
Oh, right.
But also at where I go, there's...
Did she come at you with a long razor and you're like, oh, I don't want to do Van Gogh.
Oh, my God.
There was a guy who works there. He was like... on the computer and go, this is the dude. I'm telling you, this is the dude. I cut his hair. And like, what dude? And I'm like, this dude here. And they're telling everyone, this guy, he moved into his grand's house and then kicked her out and took over a house.
Oh.
And it's a client of my hairdresser. And he's like, that's the dude. And they all went, oh, what an arsehole. He's not coming back. And they're like, yeah, but his hair looks good, doesn't it? And I'm like, yeah, his hair looks really good.
I love any industry involved with aesthetics, yeah. Like fashion or hairdressing or graphic design. Everyone's like, yeah, substance is all well and good, but how good does it look?
Yeah. You know what? We can apply it to our own industry. You can call someone an arsehole and then that arsehole says, hey, you're really funny. And you go, oh, well, they're all right. Yes. They're all right.
I love that rape joke comedian. He's lovely to me.
Mad Max. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about Mad Max.
So the trailer's really cool, and there's something very fascinating about it because it's lots of explosions, lots of things, lots of people driving, looks quite camp. But what appears quite interesting is that it looks like Charlize Theron is actually the main character.
Oh.
So it looks like it looks like from the trailer there's a subversion of normally you have... you know, the leading man, action hero, and the woman is alongside for the ride. But it looks like it's the other way around in this. It looks like Charlize Theron's character is pushing the story along and Tom Hardy's just running along just looking like fucking Tom Hardy, right? but it looks like that looks interesting to me.
Isn't the female character, doesn't she drive the story in the second one a bit? Like, and then he has to help them all at the end?
Yeah, I think it's is it the woman that runs it in, drives it or
I haven't seen the second one.
I haven't seen the second one for ages.
No. Yeah,
no, I'm sorry. I've also not seen Star Wars. Okay, let's get over it.
Oh wow!
Well, you've never seen Star Wars.
I've never seen Star Wars.
Oh,
he is technically a gay man. Because yeah. There's not enough female characters in Star
I've
Wars
seen
for us
Amelie
to look into.
About 50 times.
Yeah, but you hate the prequels to Arnold. Yeah. You know, like, who gives a fuck when she was 7? But how did you miss it? I'm always fascinated by those. Because, you know, normally you see films because you stay at friends' houses or things like that.
He's younger than us.
I was born in 81.
Yeah.
And so when I was going to that kind of looked dated as well.
Oh, did it really?
Well, Mad 80, Max looked dated.
Oh, sorry. I was talking about Star Wars then. But yeah, I can understand why you wouldn't have seen Mad Max because it was also R-rated. And and you watch the first one. And once again, that's one of those ones where you go, my God, those people are so scary. And then you think, why does Tokata have Bubba Zanetti riding around on the back of his motorbike with a long blonde blow wave haircut? And why does he seem so upset? Oh, my God. No wonder Max is mad. He's the only heterosexual man in this movie. It's like they're trying to win him over.
Is Angry Anderson in the new one? Is he going to be in the new one?
No, I don't know.
Is Tina Turner in it?
No. No, this looks serious.
Oh.
No, Beyond Thunderdome. No, what happened to... No, Angry Anderson died, didn't he? Isn't his last scene him just flipping the bird? Isn't that what happens?
Does he flip the bird and then the kid with the boomerang cuts it off?
Oh, no, that's the second film.
Does it melt through the molten light like, just on that? Like,
we're confusing our movies here. You know...
for the listener, I had my finger in the air like in Terminator.
No. We've been applying a lot of mime to this podcast. Yeah. So
there's a lot of visual jokes for people at home to go, like at one point, Justin just dropped the microphone and wandered off in the last one.
Yeah, that's a fact. It'll probably happen tonight. Did you ever hear about Limo being on over in Iraq, I think it was, and having to share a room with Angry Anderson?
No.
So when Limo had to go on tour, to perform for the troops, I think he was the Marilyn Monroe on that tour. And well, what was funny...
The Tanya Zayeta.
Yeah. No, I think Tanya Zayeta was the Tanya Zayeta on that trip. Good on her. But...
She's doing it for the troops.
Look, all right. That's, fucking high fives all around. You know, what men and women want to do in the privacy of a room with lots of other people in there is everybody in that room's business. So,
allegedly.
So, and we're saved from the lawyers. But anyway, so Limo, for some reason, I think he'd been to Vietnam on a holiday or something like that. And like a truly 100% cashed up bogan, got a couple of henna tattoos. And then he's in a room with Angry Anderson, and like Angry's there with those, you know, proper man tattoos. Yeah. You know, like, remember when tattoos didn't mean you had to be a barista? You know, like and over the days, it's just Limo looking at himself, just watching his little shitty henna tattoos fade in the glory of Angry.
Can you rub them off? Can you actually...
No, like,
you
can't, they, so take days.
Oh,
they take days.
So that's what you'd be doing. You just go straight in and try it. Because I remember Mel Buttle, when she was working on the radio up in Brisbane, for some reason for the radio, they said, oh, we're going to get you a spray tan. For the radio.
She keeps doing Mel these Buddle. Things for the radio.
Yeah. They got her a spray tan and she got home and her dad...
She's quite orange already.
Right. I hope it matched the cardigan. Yeah.
Does the skin match the cardigan? Anyway, so, but then she just went in the shower and had like a 4-hour shower trying to scrub it all off.
No,
and
get off, it doesn't.
And she just looked like dirty. She just looked like grubby for the radio. Yeah.
Right. Having a Karen Silkwood moment. Reference for quite clearly about three people. But Google that one and get back to me and I'm pretty on the money.
My shower has been losing the power. Like it's not as strong as it is. And I'm like in there every day going, right now I could totally go a Karen Silkwood shower.
Oh, yeah. What's wrong with it?
Like, I don't know. It's just starting to just become drips.
Oh, that's
a metaphor for the rest of my plumbing.
That is devastating. That's the one thing I hate about roadshow. You know, like you'll go to places and depending on what the shower is like, that will affect my whole experience of that place.
You know when you turn it up full and it's like drip, drip.
Yeah.
And you're like, I can't wash myself in that.
And it's cold. Yeah. It's cold and it doesn't warm up. And then you have to get onto a bus.
And Roadshow, they give you those hotels where the towels have like three threads in them.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Roadshow is like the comedy festival chooses a handful of acts and you go off in rural areas and you perform. It's really great.
The majority of them are great. But then you get to those hotels where you go, the only people that come here are the people who do Roadshow and the people who come here to kill themselves.
Yeah.
So that's it. Yeah. That's it. That's all it is.
No one's going there to have an affair?
No. It's disgusting.
No one's going to there to smoke ice away from their wine?
No. There's plenty of places to do that. That's more uplifting than those hotels.
My favourite thing on Roadshow, though, is like everyone who's got a partner at home, they had the phone call where they're like, oh, I've got to take this, and it's their partner calling them, and like, I'm really bored. Yeah, so wish I was home, blah, blah, blah. And then hang on and go, all right, what's going on now? Let's go get some drinks,
yeah!
It's like, but everyone does it. No one's saying to their partner, I'm having a great time, and you're at home with the kids or with whatever it is you're doing.
Cleaning up the dishes.
I have tried to be honest. I can actually say I have tried to be honest. And you know what it does? Blows up in your face. So when you say, actually, I'm having a great time, you know, everyone's been fun, we're about to head out, and it's like, oh, right, so you don't miss me at all. And it's like, well, at this point, no. Because guess what I'm doing? Having a good time. I'm having a really good time with my friends. Well, you know, I have three times on Roadshow, I have had someone walk in on me like a cleaner just walk in on me. And the first time...
Doing what? Like, when you say walk in on you...
Writing a blog about last night's show.
Yeah, that's probably right, actually. Yeah. No, one of them it was nothing really. I was just sort of, I was just packing my stuff and the person walked in. That was kind of a bit whatever. But the second one, a woman walked in while I was getting out of the shower. So I was bending over and it was looking a little bit like a fun slide. So, I just kind of looked at her and she squealed and ran off. And, yeah. But the third one, I heard the door going and I was in the nude and I was watching the French Open because that's what I do. And just laying there
that's
nude.
That's not a euphemism. I know.
It wasn't the French legs open, it was just the French Open.
No, all I could imagine was Jill watching Serena Williams.
Yeah. For those who don't know, I love Serena
He's
Williams.
Obsessed.
Yeah, so do I. I'm a big fan. Yeah. We bonded over that one day. I think she's amazing.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I think she's stunning as well. Yes. But,
all right, calm down. We're not alone in your hotel room now.
Yeah, well, we can be. But the thing is, and I heard the door go and I was like, is someone going to walk in on me? And so when she walked in, I just didn't bother to move. And I literally just laid there with my hands out going, what are you doing? Just let her get a fucking glimpse of this. And then she moonwalked out of there very quickly. I've never seen a moonwalk break the sound barrier, but she did it.
I think it's because, like, comedians stay in their hotel rooms until 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Mm. Like, often sleeping till 11 or 12. And then, but that's not what normally happens. Like, when you go to a shitty motel, like, it's like 8 a.m. It's like, right, let's get out of here. We're going to go and look at the sights whatever fuckhole we're in.
Yeah, but when you're on roadshow, you're tired.
Yeah, and you've done a gig till
midnight. You've been
hanging
out, you've been in a bus for like four or 5 hours and there's some comedian, insert name that you want to insert, and who hasn't stopped talking and you think, fuck, I just need peace. I just need no sound. I need no words.
Hammo is like a small child on the bus though. As soon as it starts moving, he just goes...
It's my X-Men mutant ability. I can sleep anywhere. I just put on the headphones and I just put myself into a position and then I just drift away somewhere happy where I can't hear everyone talking about stuff. And that's what I do. But I once, when I was in the Bunta Boys, we toured with a band called the Clowns of Decadence and I ended up on this tour. I kind of just drifted off and fell asleep. And then when I woke up, so everyone was kind of sitting on my left-hand side and I've woken up going, ugh, and run my hand over my head and my hand's gone out like this. I've gone, what the fuck has happened? And I've turned around and Craig Spencer, who was in charge of the Clowns, has looked at me and gone, Jezza, what's happened to your face? And what had happened was I must have just drifted off, hadn't hit the window, but was touching the window enough, and as we were driving over the road, it was like on my forehead, and I had a massive lump there. So I had this massive lump, so we had to do a gig that night. So that was the only gig that we ever did. The Bunta Boys did it with makeup on because they did a big makeup thing, clown thing around this big lump to try, because it was easier to do that than try to say, what's going on with Captain fucking John Merrick over there?
Oh my God, that's freaky.
Yeah.
So you haven't noticed it at all?
No, I slept all the way through it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that is some fucking sleeping powers right there. That is some sleeping skills.
No wonder you have to wear like the sleepy mask thing, your Bane mask.
No, but that's got nothing to do with that. That was when I was younger. When I was
no, but isn't that because you sleep really heavily and you don't wake up when you stop breathing?
No, I don't think that's exactly how it works.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
No. Take two of these and two of these and two of these. Thanks, doctor. Oh, I'm not a doctor.
I'm not a doctor.
It's my favourite line from The Simpsons ever, right?
And all of these.
I suffer from sleep apnea and I wear a device that fits inside my mouth, which is like a mouth guard. And it's... as hot as it sounds, too.
Ladies.
Yeah, yeah. If you've ever wanted to wake up alongside a comedian who's drooled all over his pillow, I can guarantee I can make that happen. But it's now gotten to the point now where, like, if I leave it somewhere, if I leave it behind for an overnight trip or something like that, I can't sleep properly. It just wipes me out. It's like a grown-up pacifier.
It's now. Like as a soon dummy.
As I put it in my mouth, I'm like, oh. If I put it in my mouth and think I'll start reading, it's like, oh, I'm out. It's quite nice.
I like that. That's cool. Yeah. I have like sleeping pills like that. That they're ones that don't make you tired, so you can take one and.
So they're not. They're just pills.
Yeah. No. They make you go to sleep, but they don't do the. They're not like a barbiturate. They don't make you go. Ugh. You know, you can take sleeping pills and like for an hour, you're like.
Like the swimmers do.
Yeah. And you try to stay awake through it. These ones are just like they. Do something with your circadian rhythms. I don't know what it is, but if you lie down, your body goes, oh, yeah. But you can just keep doing the dishes and being around the house and you start to yawn a bit, but that's about it. But it was kind of because when I was doing breakfast radio, I would not be able to go to sleep at a normal time. Right. I can't go to sleep about 1 o'clock in the morning and have to get up at four. Yay! 3 hours sleep. Everyone's sensible after that.
Yeah. Luckily, you were on Fox, so.
Oh, the radio was fine. It was the driving to work that was a worry.
Yeah. Out of my way! Woo! I have seen you drive like that. You started driving as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I drive now because I've got two kids. So yeah, I better drive my wife to the hospital when she gets goes into labour, you know, because I'm a nice guy.
Yeah. What a good husband.
You could have been on tour during that, but it was very thoughtful
so when,
of you.
Yeah, when you're talking about 3 hours of sleep, I'm like, yeah, that is my life every single night. I bought a king-size bed because my three-year-old is in the bed every night. Like, he sleeps in his bed, and then he just crawls into ours at about 2 a.m. every night, and we're both too tired to...
To tell him to go back.
You're in now. And the other one is in the bed with us, so he's 10 months old. And so I got this really nice king-size bed, but I sleep on about that much of it on the side with a three-year-old foot in my head. So I haven't slept since 2010. So that's right. Yeah.
Right. Well, that stopped me from having kids
again.
What was how have you taken to driving?
I love driving now. It's the only place. Well, because I like listening to music, and I can't listen to music in my house because I've got kids there, and music I want to listen to, I don't think they want to listen to it.
No, right. And so they don't like Jay-Z.
No. And so I just drive. I'll drive all over the place, and I'm driving into the city every single day for the gigs.
Yeah,
even though I'm paying a shitload for parking, even though I could catch the tram.
This car park over here is $5.
Oh, yeah, but that for a month that adds up.
But there's other ones that are like 12 and 13.
Yeah, I know. Well, I paid $45 yesterday because I'm doing a kid show, so I've got to be I've got to be in the city.
Oh,
for the
early
kid show.
And then,
so anyway, this is riveting. Anyway, so I.
I spent $45 on snacks yesterday. I'm never going to drive.
I was going to ask you about the snacks thing. Have you called your show Snacks to remind you to eat during the festival? Because we all forget.
Speaking of snacks, I heard the best story. Now, Asher Chalevin is doing the Big Laugh Out, which is a kids' show. It's for families. The other day, he did this thing where he put a whole bunch of lolly snakes down his pants, undid his fly, threw them at the audience, and the kids in the audience, and went, oh, you're pregnant, you're pregnant.
Oh, my God.
And it's the best.
Did he really?
That's what I heard. That is so funny.
9 months from now, there's going to be all these Jew babies born, and they're all called Alan.
Jelly
babies. Hey, don't boo that, you fuck faces. That was quick. I've got a cold. None of you thought of it. How about this? Kiss my ass. That was some funny shit from Hammer.
Oh, no, they were acknowledging it.
Lisa's got to work on her noises. That's what's going on there.
Just disappointed.
But,
Asher Chalevin, that's crazy talk.
Yeah, so good, though. I don't think anyone complained.
No. Yeah. Well, the kids had lollies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Crotch lollies.
Crotch lollies.
I'm eating the man's dick lolly.
So we had talked about driving years ago, and you'd said that you were quite scared of the idea
of really
it.
Scared. I think the older you put it, like, the more you put it off, the scarier it becomes, because you realise that you're not... Is someone laughing because that's true? Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's totally true.
It's terrifying.
Because when you're 18, you have no fear. You just think you're invincible. So you go, oh, fucking drive. Yeah, I'm awesome. And then when you get to like 25, 26, you realise that you're not the centre of the world. And then you're like, I could actually hurt someone.
Right. Yeah. I was a 40-year-old pee plater.
Yeah.
I had pee plates with baby seats in the back.
Oh, right.
I fit right in Reservoir where I live. It was great.
People would have thought, oh, he's a bit old. Yeah. he must be on his third kid by now.
I reckon if I had a nervous breakdown and got married and my wife wanted to have kids and she said, you need to get your license, I'd just get divorced. I'd do it. I'd just say, you can't make me do this.
I reckon you'd be fine with driving. Because there is like a...
I reckon you would because you'd love the rage of it.
Yeah.
You'd love to...
You would love the rage. And because you're meticulous and it's all about fucking rules.
Yeah.
Like there... And when people break the rules, that's when you go, no!
That's exactly the reason I'm not going to do it. Although, I've got enough fury in my life.
Like your printers, you'd be buying a new car every 3 months.
Yes. That is a fact. By the way, I appreciate everyone who sends me photos of Smash printers. It actually makes me really happy that they're out there. And
I sent him a picture the other day from Officeworks of a stack, like this massive big pallet covered in printers that were all $40 each. And I was like, we could totally put on that show.
Oh yeah. Well, no, you know what happened was
Blood and Toner.
That might be the name of my next show, Blood and Toner. But I'd come up with this idea, and I told Adam about it. And of course, Adam's is like, yeah, let's do it. Which was at the shelf, you would just have the curtain closed, and then you'd hear Beethoven's Ode
Ninth?
To Joy,
okay.
And then it would pull back,
it's
and
his
then
ninth,
and you
I
would
think.
Just see a printer. Well, I haven't heard the first eight, so I won't listen to the ninth. And so you just find a printer there, and then just as it that hits that kind of great crescendo, I would come out with a baseball bat and just beat the fuck out of a printer, and I'd do a different printer each week. But then I was like, Adam was too quick to say we should do it, and that made me think, I reckon there might be something wrong with this. So
if I'm encouraging it, it's bad.
Yeah. Too quick. Like he just went, do it.
Do it.
And I was like, oh, no. Anyway, so then I spoke to Jason. Anyone who's been to the shelf knows Jason, who does all the tech and is part of the show. He's kind of like our John Blackman, but he's awesome. And... He just kind of pointed out that, you know, you're smashing it and there's going to be bits flying off everywhere, and I probably could take out our front row. Like, and then you think, oh, the compensation. Yeah. And then it'd be hard to sell tickets to them again, and you know.
But that's why we all have public liability, isn't it? So we can just kick people in the audience.
No, I don't know if
kick
it works
you now.
Oh, Jesus, Adam. But I did want to do that, but I just feel like that could...
What?
Not work out
like
well for me.
A print yarder.
And also, it makes me laugh, but when I realise... I appreciated Thanks, that, man. Print yarder. That was good.
Thanks.
That was very good.
Are there lollies in it?
I also know the...
Just toner.
Lots of snacks. I realised... how fearful it sounded when I scared the fuck out of Rob Hunter with it. Like,
oh, yeah, he was terrifying.
Oh, yeah, that morning that I just fucking wailed on one. I just like... Because what had happened was I'd bought a cheap printer and they just said, just buy a cheap one, and when it runs out of toner, buy a new one. And then the toner had run out and it was the comedy festival. I didn't have time. And so I just bought the toner. I'll just do it in the morning. So I'd had about 4 hours sleep. I'd had a late gig. And anyway, blah, blah, blah. So I'm putting the toner in. Toner's going everywhere. And then all I kind of remember is everything went black. And then when I came to, my hands were covered in blood and toner. The printer was smashed. And I felt good. And so I threw it out, went to the city, bought a new one. I'm working away. I don't see Rob until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And when he comes out, I'm like, oh, I'm miles away. Oh, yeah, I hope I didn't wake you up with me getting angry. And Rob Hunter, who's delightful, just walks out. He's like, yeah. I said, what's wrong? He's like, nothing. And I said, oh, were you... Did I scare you this morning? He's like, it was a bit full on. I said, well, no, but I was having fun. He said, yeah, that was kind of the bit that was freaking me out. Because all I could hear was you pummeling this printer and laughing maniacally over the top of it. And I actually don't remember that. So I've had to stop doing that.
So you're like the Joker. He really came in and you've drawn a smile with toner on your face.
I'm like the black and white version of him. But
what was the thing? Justin asked me to come over because, like, I'm like the help desk apparently. Justin's like, can you come over and help me with this thing? And I can't remember what the actual thing was. And then I got to your house and you were like, oh no, that's not here anymore. I was like, where is it? And he goes, maybe across the road. I just threw it out into traffic.
No, I used to have, you know, no.
What maybe was that?
Maybe it was, you know, those Telstra dongles that you
said. That was it?
Yeah, it was that. And for some reason, that wasn't working. And I don't know, I just very calmly pulled it out of the computer, walked out onto the balcony, kicked it, and it was superb. Like, I can't explain to you the geometry of it, but it was very satisfying as it flew across Brunswick Street over the tram lines and it hit the roof on the other side of the road. And then the angle that it shot off on, I don't know why, but it was like, oh, that was good. And then I just walked downstairs and went and got a new dongle. But it felt good. It felt good. Feels good to smash shit. Like, I don't understand why people don't want to smash shit.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever watched... There's like a whole heap of those shows on like 7 Mate of smashing stuff. Like, there's one called Extreme Shredders. Which is like, you know, imagine a paper shredder for industrial waste. And they just throw things in the shredder. They go, no, we're putting a fridge in. Woo! Oh,
it's like in Fargo. It's just
a show of shredding.
Oh my god, like if they did an Australian version of that, that is the one show I'd put my hand up to host. Like, but then I'd be a bit hands-on with it, because you know, they'd be like, this is how we're going to shred this. Like, get out the fucking way, this is how you do it. Oh, the guests never get to do anything because it's just me smashing and shredding shit.
But that's what it's like. There seems to be no point to it other than they're like, oh yeah, we're putting this in today. And they have like, you know, sometimes I have a story about the guy who fixes it, but it's like no one cares about that.
They just want to see stuff.
We just want to see a car in the shredder.
Oh my god, I do want to see a car in the shredder.
It's that really good. Great.
Yeah. I once smashed a car to bits when...
You don't even drive.
No, and I was 13. But I...
Is this why you don't drive?
No,
you know how easy they are to smash into bits?
No, what happened was when I was 13, I played... Do you ever play basketball at the Mildura Basketball Carnival? Or the Irimple Basketball Carnival?
No, we went to Shepparton.
Oh, yeah. We went there once.
We used to play basketball. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. Yeah. We were quick.
Yeah.
We were very quick. Speedy little fuckers running around. Him with his good hair, me with my bad eyesight. What a team. Yeah. But
were you like the Harlem Globetrotters? Did you have to get like a little stepladder to put there?
So rude. So rude. I miss my basketball days.
So do I.
It makes me sad. Like, I like the ability to run, and I like used to be able to touch the ring. Like, that was pretty good. And before you say anything, Adam, like the basketball ring.
We're not talking about Scott Brennan anymore.
Sentence, wasn't it? Right. And I miss that. Like, I miss that ability to be that.
Could you still get
up
there if you had to?
No. No way.
I can touch the bottom of the net still.
Can you? So that's...
But Dave Thornton wants to be able to dunk it. He's never been able to dunk it, and he's training to be able to dunk a basketball.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's his thing.
I can understand that. I can understand it. You know, I go out and play a bit of basketball with Brett Wheeler, who some of you may have seen before. He's
a championship player.
Yeah, he won 2 championships with the Sydney Kings, played for Australia. He's 6'10", and because he's a year
he's
older
actually
than me.
Puddles. Puddles for the party.
I know.
He's him. Under the makeup is Brett Wheeler.
I took a photo of that. If you go to my Instagram account, JustinHamilton11, I took it, and it's great because Puddles is 6'8", and it's like finally, even with that hat on, there's Wheeler, just a bit fucking tall. But we can't, like, playing's hard. Like, you just get puffed so easily. Do you remember that a few years ago when there was all the comedians? And let's play full court. So, yeah, no worries. And after 3 minutes, I was like, this has been a massive mistake.
I liked it, though.
Yeah.
Because I was... This was like 10 years ago. I was a lot fitter than I was. And I was all right running because I was only like 23. So I was running around. But because the bigger guys, they just stayed in the paint, under the basket. And so Alan Breaux was playing. He's huge.
Yeah. And he throws it around too.
Yeah.
Fucking Mr. Spicks and Specs. So lovely. He throws his weight around, doesn't he?
Elbows.
Elbows.
If only he knew in 9 years' time, he would have been able to give me an extra one.
Yeah.
And there was... Wilson Dixon, he used to play as well, so if you know him. So but when it was full court, they couldn't run up, so I was loving it.
Yeah.
But then another comic, Dave Bluestein, came to play, and he thought it was just a great way to kind of meet other comics.
Oh,
didn't realize that no, we took it very seriously.
Yeah.
Even I know not to go down there for that.
So he came in jeans and desert boots. And
what?
Yeah. Well, he just thought it was just going to be a shoot
desert
around.
Desert boots?
Yeah. Well, that's what he was wearing because he was doing gigs.
Oh, my God. What a fucking dickhead.
But then after like 40 seconds, jeans. He realized that, I'm... And so he just stayed on the sideline and watched. So it was a weird, like, he was...
So
just,
he was...
Yeah.
He was like a cheerleader?
Yeah.
Did he cut the oranges?
You know what? You know what it was like? It was like we'd gotten a Moosehead show and we had one person turn up to watch it. That's what it was like.
It was Bluestein. Like, this is very, very confronting.
That happens sometimes, though, doesn't it? Yeah. You have the comedians who come out and think, oh, yeah, this would be a good time to get to know people. And then, then the serious face gets on and it's all a bunch of old men trying to relive their youth.
Because you broke a rib. As well.
I cracked a rib.
Yeah, cracked a rib.
I cracked a rib. Yeah, someone ran straight into me and I thought I was okay, actually. I thought, God, that's a bit full on. And then the next day I had to fly to Adelaide for a gig. And if you have a cracked rib, don't get into a plane because it turns out it is extremely painful. And the best thing is you realize just as the wheels leave the ground and you know that you've only got to deal with it for maybe 80 minutes. And that's what it was like.
Oh.
It was a disaster. But anyway.
I've whenever anyone's ever said, oh, we're going to go and play football or do this, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to that.
Yeah.
Like I got hurt the other day introducing Arnie Donner on stage. Like they just came past me and the wind.
They generate
through my
a lot
back
of wind.
Out.
There's so much energy
there's
there.
There's too much energy.
But it's funny because, you know, because comedians like to, for the most part, unless you're Tom Gleason, like to play lower status. like, he's very good at it. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, because comedians are lower status, oh, yeah, I'm not very good at this.
Yeah,
I'm not very good at that. No, I really struggle with this. But what they don't realize, like, audiences don't realize, is that you have to have a certain type of alpha maleism to you to be able to think that you are the funniest person.
Well, it's a competitive
room.
Industry.
Right, right. And so I'm speaking specifically about male comedians with this, who then when you go out and watch them or play against them in sport, that shit really kicks in and it gets really competitive. And I've actually heard many worse stories. Our basketball stories are actually, for the most part, pretty good, but I have heard some cracking stories about those fucking whimsical UK comedians when they get a soccer ball. And suddenly it feels like the stutters disappear and they fucking go for it, don't they? No time to be charming and talk about wizards now. I'm going to kick a fucking goal.
I saw that in action when I did Celebrity Splash because Josh Thomas, I did not expect to be as voraciously competitive as he was. But
was he really?
Yeah. And he was really good at it. He just fucked it on the night, like when, which I think he just didn't want to do the show anymore. Yeah. Right. But like in training, he was there for hours on end and he was in like a harness and jumping over it. Like he hurt himself a lot by like landing on his back and his face and all that kind of thing. But he was doing like full double somersaults in the air
right
from the board. And I was like, what is going on? What has happened? Like Nick Brax, who looks like, you know, the fittest person alive, could barely get to the end and fall in.
Right.
And
right.
There's Josh Thomas with his seven hairs spinning through the air.
Oh, right.
And like, it was bizarre.
Right.
He was really into it.
Yeah.
I was just hoping gravity would do all the work.
Right.
I'm very heavy.
Right. How did you hurt your neck then? Was that an accident or was that
in training,
just,
wasn't it?
It was in training and it was, and I even said this, I said, look, if you keep doing this, I'm going to hurt myself because I'm losing focus. Like you really need to concentrate. Like it's not a natural thing to jump off the edge of something towards the ground because you can't see the water. It's invisible. All you can see is the bottom of the pool. It's like, ah, here I go. And they kept wanting to film package stuff while we were meant to be training. Like, you know, we filmed a whole bunch of stuff and it got sent to Sydney and Sydney's like, no, we don't want that. Make them say this. So it was all prescribed what we had to talk about. It's like, yeah, I'm finding it difficult because of this and blah, 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 blah. So they kept making us do that.
Are you telling me that reality TV doesn't really deal with reality?
Yes.
Wow.
So we're doing all that shit and I was like, look, I need to actually do some training because otherwise I'm going to hurt myself. Like I need to focus. And it was my very last dive of the day and I was doing, it was a backwards twist. So I'd go backwards and then in the air had to twist around and land forward. And yeah, so I did that. And you're meant to make a hole in the water with your hand, and then right. your head follows through.
Right.
And I just was off. Like, my hands were there, my head was up here, so my forehead smacked into the water and was like... So, yeah, I got concussion. And because, like, whenever you land, like, with your arm straight. So, like, a shock travels up your arm
right.
into your neck. So, just yeah. over constantly doing it for 6 weeks, I crushed all of the cartilage between two of my vertebrae and my neck.
Right.
So, I now have early onset arthritis. I know, Will Anders is not the only one. Yep. I'm not stoned, though. I've just got sleeping pills.
What's the worst injury you did as a kid?
In the space of 3 weeks, when I first moved out of home, so I was 17 when I moved out of home, the week before I moved out, because we finished year 12, and we went and had a massive party, and I fell asleep drunk on the beach in Tasmania.
Oh.
So there's no ozone, so I got
second degree
burns on my body from the sun. Oh my God. I spent a night in hospital and my nipples peeled off.
Oh!
Like the skin on my nipples peeled off.
Are you serious?
Yep, serious. And then...
Oh!
You were David Bowie in The Man Who Fell to Earth.
And then, like, 5 days after that, because my skin peeled and then it peeled again. 5 days after, me and my friends, because my friends are all skaters, but I had a video camera, so they wanted me to go with them and film them skate. But my friend's car broke down, and so we were pushing it up a hill, because it's Tassie, it's very hilly. Yeah. And then we got to the top of it, and then we rode down it to, like, sat on the back and rode down this hill.
Oh.
And there wasn't enough room for the four of us, and so being the smallest, I kind of slid and fell off. And grazed all half my side.
While you're still burnt.
So I'm still burnt. So I couldn't sleep for 5 days. And then I was fine. And then I grazed all this, like, down here. So I couldn't sleep properly for the next, like, week.
Oh, my God.
So suddenly you're looking like Michael Gambon in The Singing Detective.
But then I moved out. So I moved out of Burnie to Launceston to go to uni. And we're moving all our stuff in. And I was moving it through the kitchen, the couch. And just knocked all the dials off the oven. Just knocked them all off. And so I just put them all back on. And then was like went and did other stuff, and went smells like something's on, and being an idiot, just went just burnt, like, and so I had a ring on my hand, just like of where the hot plate was.
Oh my God!
Because it only burnt touched a little bit, so it was on low, but it had been on for so long, so it wasn't red. God. So I just went like, and that happened, and my mum was just going, "You're going to kill yourself by the end of this year. Like, you are going to die
by the end of this week."
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So you didn't sleep for 2 whole weeks. Is that why you figured, I can have kids, that's going to be easy?
Wow.
Oh, ow. This has actually turned into a crossover with your podcast, because you find out weird things about people.
I haven't done that story in my podcast. So,
no.
I will, so don't you guys ruin it.
Yeah, don't ruin it.
Yeah.
Because comedians won't listen to this shit. Unless they're on it.
Yeah, unless they get told, and they are all over.
We talk about you in our podcast. Do you?
Yeah.
That's why I'm going to see Adam's show. Because I know he talks about me in his show.
Right, yeah.
He came and saw my show because he knows I talk about him in my show.
Yeah.
You don't. I'm sure you just put that in because I was there that day.
No, every night I say Adam and Ella and I.
I sometimes tell the story of when we were at the Logies.
Oh, can you tell that?
I'll tell it. When we were, like, we had to sit at the ABC table. We got like the good room. Like, Lawrence Mooney and the ABC 2 kids had to sleep upstairs at the kids' table. Oh, Justin's going to take a photo of it. See, he just wanders off. But yeah, we were at this. We were at a table with Carlotta.
Yep. And Rhonda Birchmore was just over here. So I was like, which is which? I don't know.
You really couldn't tell. Which one's the real lady? And then at the next table to us was the cash cow from Sunrise.
But then in front was Molly and Kylie.
Yeah, Kylie was hanging out with Molly. So, you know, it was kind of exciting. And then they had the Comedy Award, which, of course, was won by that internationally renowned show, House O's. And so we're in the party afterwards, just having a gas bag and just talking. And some woman comes running up to us and goes, oh, my God, and just goes to Josh, can you take a photo of me with Paulie from House O's?
Don't feel bad, because I had the shakiest hands ever. I was just like, yeah, all right, yeah, there you go.
He was kind of jiggling. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm making it blurry. So this poor woman now has a photo with Paulie from Housewives that no one's going to believe her.
Yeah. But on the way there, I got in trouble on the way there because ABC got us like some limousines. Well, they only got like three and they had to do blocks around and pick us up from where we were and then so we could drive in. And it was ridiculous. Anyway, so we were in one and there was like Jane Kennedy and us and Ella and a whole bunch of ABC like bigwigs. And they had, like, in the limousine, they had, like, a screen with all the songs that were playing. And it was the screen that big. But one of the songs was called Because of the Night. I don't know who sings it. But it didn't fit on the screen.
Is it Patti Smith?
Because of the Night? Yeah, I'm not sure what it was. But it said Because of the Nig. And I... and I said to the guy, who was, like, a big shot at the ABC, I said, oh, well, that's unfortunate. And he said, why is it?
Oh, don't make him explain.
Yeah. And I was like... oh, no, no reason.
Just like... just missing a word.
Yeah. That happened when Justin and I went to see The Dark Knight for about the 18th time.
Oh, yeah.
And we went to, like, the gold class because it was... I think it was, like, a Friday before my two-week holidays at radio, so I would often get drunk at 10 a.m. So yeah. I went to the gold class, like, let's get on it. And... they couldn't fit the whole The Dark Knight on the,
oh, that's right,
on the
yeah.
ticket. And it just got up to K-N-I-G.
Yeah. My favourite one of those. What was the cinema that was just around here? Just was it the...
The Nova?
The Greater Union? The one that was just down
on
Russell Street?
Oh, on Russell Street, yeah.
They always used to have bad spelling on it.
Oh, it's the best.
And so what it was like, were the Millers? Is that we are the Millers. Were the Millers. And then there was Angles and Demons. That was another. Yeah,
right. It's like, do you think maybe they didn't have the rights to the movies, and they were just showing DVDs someone had bought in Bali?
Oh, yeah, it's the Be Kind Rewind versions. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Oh dear, we've run out of time. We've been talking about ages.
My podcast, Don't You Know Who I Am?
If you haven't heard it, it's fucking amazing. Like Jill does all this fucking work, and it's so much fun.
Well, the great thing about
it is, nothing. It's
no.
Free.
But the great thing about it is you've been so smart because you've thought, well, how can I get comedians to come on a game show that will be entertaining for everyone? What do comedians like? Oh, talking about themselves.
Yeah. What do they know about themselves? Yeah.
It's our number one skill.
It all came from hosting Specs, because it was that thing of like it was so awkward to go. Here's a question about someone. Oh, you've toured with that person. Tell us, and it was like, oh, so obvious. Like, then you go, oh, tell that good story.
Yeah.
Oh, great, excellent. You've told that good story. Moving on. So I just thought, why can't we just cut out that?
Cut
stupid,
out that bit. Yeah.
Let's tell the good stories.
Yeah. No, it's loads of fun. So go and check that out.